Lord, we do come with open hearts, and we ask that your ancient words would impart to us this morning the truth, the spirit of truth. Open our hearts that we might hear you. Amen. Those that have been with us over the last 3 weeks will know that we've been looking at Ephesians and the gifts that Jesus has given to his church. We are actually looking at how God wired us to serve him 24/7. God has designed each one of us with a purpose in mind. Even before we are following him, he has made us to serve him to help build his kingdom. And he's requiring us to respond. And just to look again at that passage, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be shepherds and teachers. And as explanation, we're using the word shepherd here rather than the usual translation of pastor, because that is the way the word is normally translated. And also the word pastor carries with it connotations of church leadership. And we're not talking about church leadership when we talk about pastor here. We're talking about the shepherding gift. So over the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the first four. So we're left with teacher today. But just to recap, because I can see we've got some new faces with us today. The apostles are those that God has wired to bring change and innovation. It is their task to extend the kingdom of God and to help the rest of us do it. Prophets, God has wired them to be especially good at hearing his voice and sharing God's heart with the rest of us. So the prophets are discerning. The evangelists have been wired to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to share that with others and to help us do the same. They're recruiters, the shepherds, and there's about 50% of us will be shepherds. Those that have been wired to care and protect, they're the nurturers in the body of Christ. And today we look at teachers, those that God has wired to grasp and to apply the truth, and especially the truth of his word. They explain. Now, if you haven't been able to work out which gift you are, there are some online tests. So if you're into that kind of thing, we will have the link in next week's news sheet. But if you email me, I can email you the link if you want to get onto it. But it's something that you need to talk about, talk to people who know you, because they will also be able to help you find the gifts that are resident in there. So let's have a look at these teachers. See the diagram we've got there for a teacher, how it's different to the others. The teacher has got a focus of receiving and then giving out. Notice they are fairly stationary, not like the apostles and the evangelists. So, what are teachers like? They grasp the truth of Scripture and they get really excited about it. And they speak this to others. They explain it to us and help us to apply it to our lives. But remembering that the gifts are not just about doing, but they are about equipping others. So teachers will provoke the rest of us to dig deep into Scripture for ourselves. So they help us become biblically grounded. So putting it another way, teachers can make things that are complicated simple. They have the ability to take a lot of information and distill it down so the rest of us can get it. You would have seen the series around For Dummies. That's the kind of thing that teachers do. They're very good at coming up with things that help make our learning memorable. They construct a doctrine that can be applied to life. Teachers are great at building and developing things. They like to develop what the apostles, prophets, and evangelists have started. Usually, teachers have a very high regard for tradition and history. which is probably why as a church we have a high number of teachers, especially in leadership. But teachers will accept change if there's a very good reason for it, and they are given a plan of how to get there. Teachers are able to connect the dots that others can't see. So you know you've been with a teacher if you suddenly find that you're now hungry to dig into scripture. Teachers will help you see how things fit together, and especially is how they fit together in the overall mission of God. And they'll help us to apply those truths so we can serve them better. Now, who do you think our model teacher is going to be? Jesus, you've got it by now, haven't you? Jesus was often called teacher or rabbi, and you'll know the Sermon on the Mount. And the interesting was the response of the Jewish people was they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority, unlike the Jewish leaders. And notice that Jesus provoked people to think. He just didn't give them easy answers. His teaching style was one of telling stories, which is why we've been doing a lot of that here, and then asking questions. And if you think of the Good Samaritan, he left them thinking, didn't he? Well, who is my neighbour? Another biblical example, in Acts 18, we find Apollos. And he had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from scripture that Jesus was the Christ. So, teachers, what do they enjoy? They enjoy bringing clarity, both into theory and practical things. They love reading and studying the Bible. They love research. Research of everything, but also researching the Bible, getting information, getting insight, helping other people to understand. They love creating ways so that people can remember and share with others what they have learned. And that's part of the equipping coming in there, isn't it? Equipping others. So teachers can be trainers, coaches, instructors, inspirers, explainers. But like all the gifts, teachers have pitfalls. Some of the things that teachers need to watch out for, being legalistic in their mindset. Assume that they're the only ones who have the truth. Judgmental of others who disagree. And that is really an explanation of why the Protestant church has had so many branches. Because we have a lot of teachers in leadership, each with their own beliefs over the years. And the best way to deal with it, they thought, was to split and make another church. Too theoretical, another pitfall, can actually misapplying what they know to life. Like all the gifts, they really need the input of the other four gifts. They need the apostles to help them get their mind onto the bigger mission of God. They need the prophets to hear what the Spirit is saying, so we're not just teaching what God has said in the past, but we need to be hearing what God is saying today. What is His special word for us today? We need the evangelist, of course, to recruit others so the teacher can do his work, and we need very much the shepherds who are going to care for all the people. So, growth area for a shepherd. The big one is to be, teacher, is relevancy. There can be a pride in knowledge, just for knowledge's sake. But a teacher needs to ask, so what? What does that mean? How does that apply to my life? How does that extend the kingdom of God? So, teachers in everyday life, and remembering, as we've said, we were wired at birth with these gifts, ready to respond to God and to serve Him. So we can find teachers who would love to be trainers and coaches, demonstrators, researchers, librarians, people who are in jobs that carry a lot of detail. Secondary and tertiary teachers, not likely to find teacher gift as primary teachers, because that you find a lot of shepherds there. That's very much a compassion nurturing role, but especially upper secondary and tertiary, you find more of your teacher giftings. Teachers are often great communicators, either in one-to-one or in small groups. A big issue for teachers is actually understanding what the role is. The job is not to do all the teaching. We've got to remember that these gifts are not just doing gifts, but they're also equipping gifts for the body of Christ. So the role of the teacher is to help people read scripture for themselves, to be able to think with the mind of Christ, to be able to hear what Jesus is saying and to apply it to their lives and to their communities. Likewise, the evangelist's task is to train and motivate the whole church to reach those outside the kingdom of God. The prophet's job is to motivate the whole church to become a people of prayer who are listening to God for themselves. The apostle's function is not to have all the new ideas and plans, but to create an innovative culture and a willingness to follow God's leading. The shepherd's role is to encourage the whole church to be caring and loving. And so for the teacher, the number one priority is not to do all the teaching, but rather to equip the saints to teach and to get into their Bibles. Remember, the Great Commission, all of us are to teach the world to obey. So if you're a teacher, find another teacher from whom you can learn. Be relevant. It might be hard, but that's the way to maturity. Success is when you've helped lots of people learn to read and understand scripture for themselves, and growing and understanding the things of the kingdom, so that we're actually able to shape where God has put us, whether that's in the workplace, in the home, or the neighbourhood. Teachers need to recognise that they may not see their fruitfulness immediately. They may need to wait. And like all the gifts, realise that the passion that teachers have for the truth and attention to detail is unusual. It doesn't come naturally to other gifts. It can actually annoy other gifts. But that is how Jesus has wired you to be if you're a teacher. And you're vital to the health of the church. You're made to equip the rest of us to go, to be smart, thoughtful disciples that won't be blown here and there by every negative thing that someone says. And like all the gifts, everything has to be done out of relationship with Jesus. Because we are inviting people to meet Jesus for themselves, to follow him, not just in the moment, but for all their lives, and to be shaped by his teaching and his life. Those of you that were here the other 3 weeks, remember the mountain. Can you remember the mountain? When the apostle sees in a mountain, he's going to say, "Let's go climb the mountain." Why? Because it's there and I haven't done it yet. It's something new. The prophet will say, "Hang on, is it the right mountain? Right, check, what's God saying?" The evangelist, the recruiter will say, "Let's see how many people we can come to go with us." The shepherd's going to say, "We want to make sure everyone's all right on the journey." And the teacher's going to say, "I'll show you how to do it if you haven't been climbing before." And together, we'll get there. Extending the kingdom of God takes all 5 gifts. Remember the 5 diagrams here? The apostle at the top, moving out in a hurry. The prophet saying, "Hang on a minute, just what's God saying?" Then there's the evangelist in the middle. He's moving out, gathering people in. Then there's the shepherd, the nurturer, gathering people around. And the last one there being the teacher. Right? We need all 5. They will always be different. They will ask different questions, and you can often tell what someone's gift is by the questions they ask, especially if they get frustrated. Have we got a plan that's going to take us to where we want to be? Who's that? The apostles, isn't it? Apostles got to have a strategy, got to know where they're going. Are God's people hearing his voice and responding? That's the prophets. Who's complaining? Are people coming to entering into the kingdom of God? They'll be the evangelists. That's what's prime on their heart. And the ones who are asking, "Is anyone caring for people around here?" They'll be your shepherds. That's what they notice. And are people really reading their Bibles? That's the teacher. Now, we're going to look a bit for a while about applying this in our life. Now, some people have said to me, "But I can actually operate in all of those," especially when you get to a certain age. You've had a lot of life experience. "So how do I know which one I am?" God's plan is to mature us, that we might grow more and more like Jesus. Now, if we're going to be more and more like Jesus, and he's the model for each of these, then we're going to grow in each area. But there's one area that God has especially wired us in that's going to come more naturally and it's going to be easier. And it's the one we're going to want to go to if we're tired or if we've been stressed, because it will be like coming home. Now, some people have got some language for us here, and they're calling these base and phase ministries. So the base is the one that is your natural way that God has wired you. And when you're working in that area, it feels good. But because God wants us to grow, he's going to take us into times which we'll call, we're working in a phase ministry. It may be there's just a gap and someone needs to fill in. It may be that God has taken us there especially to grow that part of us. And after you've been there a while, you'll think, oh, I've really had it here. I'd really just like to go back to doing the other one. And I've got a gorgeous picture here that really shows it. I think this is brilliant. They do not suspect I'm a mere cat. See, it's got all the right moves. But no matter how hard you try, it's not as easy if you're working in your phase ministry. Now, we're just going to move on a little bit here to talk about how this works in terms of church, because this is part two of how we apply it as a body. When something new starts, guess who's there starting it? The apostles and the prophets, because that's what they do. And then they get going, and then the evangelists will join in, and of course they will recruit lots of people, and then the shepherds and teachers will come along to develop that work. By which time probably the apostles and prophets have moved on to something new, because they've probably got bored, or maybe they weren't needed anymore, or thought they were needed anymore. And over time, we hit the downhill. And I believe this is where the church is now. For many years, we have had leadership which has only been in the shepherd and teacher leadership. Now, we need that, but we need leadership in all of these areas. Otherwise, we're not able to grow in all of these areas. And I believe what God is doing in our day is actually looking at restoring the apostle, prophet, and evangelists back so that we can grow to be mature in Christ and be multiplying and extend the kingdom of God. Putting it on a line like this, you can see they're actually in the apest order, from the pioneering, the most pioneering is the apostle, the least pioneering, the most settling and developing is the teacher. So we just have a quick look at what these are like. You might recognise yourself in one of these. The evangelist is sort of in the middle, and if the evangelist's gift is combined with a shepherd or a teacher, they can actually be quite happy in the church. But if the evangelist's gift is combined with an apostle or a prophet, they'll be quite a much more outgoing and out there evangelist. But for this, we've actually put them with the pioneers. So let's have a look at pioneers. Love, change and flexibility. Reaching out beyond what is currently working here. Easily bored, frustrated by having to stay and build something and develop something. Success for a pioneer is moving out. Failure is having to turn back. Anyone recognise yourself in any of these? Settlers. Love continuity and stability. Love developing things that someone else has started. Easily spooked, especially by change. Frustrated by moving targets. Success for a settler is getting established. Now we're here, we've got everything sorted, we all know what we're doing. Failure, breaking the rules. Can you see the beginning of conflict?
Those bullet points haven't come up on the second slide, did you mean?
Sorry, yep, got now? Yeah. So can you see the potential for conflict as the pioneers and the settlers seek to work together? Because one of the things is that settlers are probably about 50%. Some people think the teachers might be 25. Guess which side gets edged out if we don't want to work it out and work together? Can you see why the pioneers have got edged out? Because they'll be off busy starting something else. And we lose those gifts to the body of Christ. None are more important than the others, but we need them all Otherwise, we're not going to be able to grow. Now, with that, we also, some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts, and those personality differences also get put across our gifting. So you can see there's lots of different variables there as we look at how God has made us. So, in extroverts, those that are refreshed by activity, they like variety, enjoy being around people, act quickly, sometimes without thinking. Process externally. They don't know what they think until they've talked. But of course the rest of us have to hear what they're saying in the process. And you've got to sort of know that you've got to the final one to actually know what they think in the end. Learn a new task by talking it through with someone. And of course the introverts are refreshed by reflection, being in the cave. They like digging into something, enjoy time alone, think before they act, sometimes without acting. They process internally. They talk after they've done their thinking. They can learn a new task by reading about it. So you can see we're very different. We're unique. God's given us different temperaments, and they will produce a different expression in each ministry. But if you remember back into our first talk, we talked about the effect of Polaroid glasses, looking into water, and whether we would be, what would be able to see, whether we'd see the fish or not. Our own gifting has the effect of wearing glasses. What we can see clearly, other people don't see as clearly, or may not see as clearly. There are also things that we don't see that other people see clearly. So we need to be talking to one another, listening to one another, and honouring one another for what God's doing and saying in each one of us. But above all of us need to stay close to Jesus. We need to remember it's about serving Jesus together, and it's about having a kingdom mindset. This is all about extending the kingdom of God here and wherever God takes us. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the teachers that you have put among us. I pray that you will stir up their gift, their love for Scripture, their hunger for the truth. May they challenge us to also share that excitement of your word. Help them to be relevant so that we will all be well-grounded disciples with a well-reasoned faith. And Father, I pray for us together as the body of Christ that you would show us how we are to work this out together. Give us an ability to hear one another, to hear what you are saying to one another, and to work it out in this place. Amen.